is your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
And they're off and racing, and there's a terrific line out of the gate.
This spring racing season, the best experts in the business come together on Punters Postmortem. Call 13 53 53 and discuss all the spring racing action. Right here and right now on Punters Postmortem.
And Pura, good morning, everyone. It is 9:09 with Sean Cosgrove. We've got Ron Darvasy joining us as well. Morning, Duff. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Sean. Big weekend of racing. It was sensational at Randwick on Saturday. Big crowd. You know, 8-9 favourites nearly rolled in. And it was just amazing how what eventuated on the day.
And Dean Lester, morning, Dano.
Sean.
Yeah, the big day, yes. Sunday, rather, at Flemington. Turnbull Stakes Day there as well. It's a great weekend of racing.
Yeah, Sunday was terrific, Sean. Friday night was pretty good too, but didn't quite match up to Saturday at Randwick. That's as good a Sydney program as I've seen for a long time, Duff.
Duff, definitely.
John O'Shea, we knew him when he had nothing, and here he is, 5 winners on the day. What a great effort.
Yeah, it's all about getting him ready for a grand final, and that was probably our spring grand final on Saturday, and his horses, you know, put their right foot forward. There's no doubt about it. He's a story in himself, complacent with the injuries and problems that he's had, and, you know, whether it was a fluke when he won at big odds, he's proved that hasn't been since. I think he was earlier in the spring, or at the end of winter, he said he wasn't going to go to Melbourne, but the horse has sort of booked himself there. There's no doubt about it. He's coping with the preparation. A lot of groundwork had gone into him prior to him resuming, and he's a happy horse racing in good form, so why not go there?
Now, 13-53-53 is the number you can ring to talk to the guys. 13-53-53. We might open the bowling, look at Friday night first of all. Fenway and the Stock Stakes for Leon Shannon Hope and Blake Shin. Great win. Dina, can she go any further? I mean, they're talking Cox Plate.
Well, she's won a Group 1 in the autumn in the binary at 2,000 metres, and I think that's probably the, you know, she either goes there or waits 4 weeks for the Mire. They're the only two real options for her, but she's a Group 1 winner. She's got around the valley quite well. I would think that she's probably worthy of a spot in the Cox Plate field. Whether she's quite good enough to win one, I'm not sure, but that was a very fast race on Friday night, and she handled that pressure really well, and it was a lovely ride, but she won well, and yeah, I think timing's right for at least have a crack, I would say.
Yeah, she was only second up, wasn't she?
Yeah, and I think she hit the Vinery third up last time in when she won at 2,000 metres, so they're going to a similar path, so it was a good performance.
All right, what did you make of the Stutz Stakes, the Hayes Davenant combination? They're on fire at the moment.
They are. Look, this is a race where I think the horses going towards the Guineas ran on the Sunday before in the Guineas Prelude, and because of the timing this year, the Stutz Stakes is only 8 days before the Guineas. So I'm thinking these are more your middle distance horses. I think Sovereign Nation will have a go at the Guineas, but wouldn't be surprised if a few of the others behind him either went to races like the Carbine Club, Sandown Guineas, or they're on a Derby path.
Ragnar looked unlucky there a little. He's only a lightly raced sort of a ex-Kiwi.
Yeah, there was a fair chance he was going to be. I just didn't know if he'd really relish the valley, but coming off a win at Bendigo, I think getting him on a bigger track might be the key there. But I'd imagine he's on a Derby path too, so I'd imagine that he ran okay for that. And I thought the horse that ran... he runs second, get the picture.
Yeah.
He's a really progressive horse, and his form ties in with some of the horses that ran well in the race on Sunday over 1,800 for the three-year-olds getting towards the Derby. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to get the pictures. Got a good race in him over a bit of ground.
Interesting runner in that race was he ran down the track, Collaborate. Only had two starts, one a maiden in New Zealand. Murray Baker brought him over and brought A.B. Boston to ride him. He wouldn't have done that unless he thought the horse had some ability.
Yeah, they had runners on the weekend, though, on Sunday. So, yeah. I don't know what they thought his chances were on Friday night, but I think the thought was he's more a Derby-style horse, and his form before that had been on wet ground, and he actually pulled up lame. I'm just reading the steward's report now. He pulled up lame, so I'd wonder if that might be that's it for the time being with him. But obviously, yeah, he's Arrowfield owned, and he looked very good winning his maiden before that.
All right, now 13-53-53. You can call to have a chat with the guys a bit later. 13-53-53. Escardo was a brave effort winning the JRA Cup.
He was. He's always had that sort of ability, and the scratching of Mujerdale changed this race enormously because he became the leader in the race, then Escardo. Well, the lead was up for grabs, and Ben Malham seized the race and seized the win, and just beat Magna Pell. I actually think Magna Pell was going to. I think he felt the ground a little bit. That ground was the firmest, well, everyone that rode it said it's the firmest Moonee Valley's ever been, and the figures show that, and it was upgraded to a firm two. And I think with clear running, Velox might have nearly beaten them both. He was back to the inside and not a lot of luck there. And the United States just too far back on a slow speed. He had no chance. His sectionals late were as good as anything on the night, but sadly he was just not in the race to be a winning chance.
Now, the Moyer Stakes, by gee, what a great old horse, Buffering. When he crossed and got to the fence in front, you always knew he was going to take some running down. And a great effort by Rob Heathcote to get him back yet again.
Yeah, everything about this was spectacular, really. The training effort, I didn't know if he'd be fast enough to do that, to be honest.
Ooh, I didn't either.
I didn't think that. Certainly not when you haven't seen him for 9 months, and you're thinking, you know, even at his best, was he fast enough to lead that field? But once they pushed through, they were brave in their tactics. They had faith in their horse and how fit he was. And he was just too tough, wasn't he, Dove?
Yeah, definitely. I love the horse, but I couldn't have him showing that 1,000 meter speed of some of these, you know, horses down the bottom there. And once he did, he was always going to be the tough nut. And as you said, it ended up perfect tactic, because that's what he's noted for, is fighting off challenges. And he played to his strengths, and they come out way on top.
I spoke to Rob Heath, and he basically said he almost had him ready a couple of weeks before, but thought what he wanted to do was get him ready and then just freshen him to try and get the speed into him. And it's worked. Whatever he did worked, didn't it?
Oh, no doubt. And, yeah, he's a terrific horse.
What do we make of the favourite there, Petite Folie?
Look, I thought she lost her action. To me, I would say that ground was too firm for her, and different pressure and all sorts of things. Probably back end of prep run, she's going to the paddock. She's going to have a fairly long break, I think, and maybe on a path similar, say, Shrikandi did as a three-year-old up in Brisbane.
We're strong with the sprinters. I know this was a Group 1 race, but there's sprinters galore in Australia at the moment. Can any of these horses measure up to the other than the winner, to the other Group 1s?
Well, the Manicato, I would think Buffering and Angelic Light, because they go so well around the valley. Chautauqua's going that way. I think he's a superior horse, but whether at 1,200 at the valley, where they often back off mid-race and then go again, whether that'll be an absolute ideal scenario for him around Moonee Valley. I think when they get to the Darley Classic, he'd have them covered. And then there's, you know, still Terra Vista to put into the mix as well.
And what about any indications how Lankan Rupee's going?
Oh, he's going very well. He runs in the Scalacci on Saturday, and then he'll join them in the Manicato and then onto the Darley. So he goes the different path again. So I'd be disappointed if he didn't win. 1,100 metres at Caulfield Saturday. I'd be disappointed if he wasn't winning on Saturday.
All right. Now, 13:53:53 is the number to call to be able to have a chat with the guys. Looking at Randwick on the weekend, Capitalist. Well, we'll look at a more Capitalist. The Snowdens produced a couple of nice two-year-olds in the Breeders' Plate. Capitalist won well, didn't he, Ron?
Oh, look, he did. He looks a little professional. He got into the box seat. He travelled well. He balanced up like he did in the trial, and he finished the race off. You know, he looks a real Magic Millions type, and I'd suggest that's the way they might plan for him. And he run time. He did it with style, and he did it with ease. You know, on paper it didn't look as strong as Breeders' Plate that we've seen, but this race has proven over the years it's a good horse's race. So we'll see good horses come out of it, and he'll be one of them.
It was good that he ran to his figures off his trial, Ron, because his trial looked as though he was superior to those horses. You'd have been disappointed if he hadn't done anything less, really.
Oh, for sure. Look, he was the last heat of the day. Yep. He still run the time on the worst, you know, part of the track of the day, and ticked all the boxes.
Now, Calliope, an Exceed and Excel filly, and she won comfortably.
Wow, yeah, look, she's didn't run the figures as Capitalist, but she overcome difficulties doing it. She was laying on the side of the barrier. She come out slow. You know, she had to balance up, and all of a sudden she's 4 or 5 lengths behind them. And I thought it was an excellent performance from a filly that really knuckled down late there. So she's also very, very talented, and you know, could be top class as well. I thought her win was excellent.
All right, now it's at 13:53:53. You can ring to have a chat with the guys. Now, the Dulcified Quality Ambience, another Godolphin runner, and a lot of their horses just seem to relax and settle and get home nicely, don't they, Duff?
Yeah, look, she surprised me. She was backed off the map. She was went up $11 earlier in the week. And she'd come out of a race at Kembla Grange that I thought was just a common race and, you know, just a win, I thought. But obviously she's got middle distance strength. She's on the improve. She's got pedigree, being a half-sister to Piero. And, look, I was really taken by her last 50 metres when he just asked her to go, McDonald, and she ran right through that line. I did read a report that she may only be going for one race in Melbourne, which is surprising. I thought they might have given her a crack at, you know, the Wakeful or something like that. But we'll just stay tuned for a report from the stable to see which way they go there. But I think she's heading to Melbourne, whether it's for an Oaks campaign or not. I'm not sure.
Anything else take your eye on that Dulcified Duff?
Look, well, Wuldang Mountain's been a horse of mine, but he's a bit of a won't quicken. He just seems to be a little bit flat of late. At Newcastle and at Randwick on Saturday, he hasn't shown any acceleration like he's promised in the past. I must say, his previous form had been on wet track, so maybe he, back on the firmer going, he's just lost a little bit there, or maybe he wants further, or maybe he wants a fast run race. There's a few little things that you could be a little forgiving with him, but he was clearly outpointed there on Saturday. And look, there's a little horse there, Schopenhauer. He's a maidener. But he's by Savabille, and if he learns to settle, he'll win a few races, as you know, in Sydney. Now that the strength's come out of it at the top, I'd suggest he could be well placed in a few races in the coming weeks.
He started off down here, Duff. He's always shown a lot of ability at the trials. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. Danny O'Brien had him.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Now, the Roman Consul, Exosphere, as I mentioned, the Godolphin, Setley Mag, he did the same. He's almost last on the turn. James McDonald just gave him a bit of a click up almost. That was all he had to do on him.
Well, this was just spine-tingling. He was just so arrogant. He knew he was in a fast race. He knew he was a marked man. He knew he had one plan, to just get away from the pack. And in doing that, he'd give away, you know, three or four lengths at the start. He eased back and a horse come across on top of him there at one stage, and he eased back another length just to get clear running on the horse in the first 300 metres. And from there on in, I thought, geez, you've set him a bit of a task here. And so Tennant was running. I'm sorry, not Tennant, Japanismo was running up front. And I thought, wow, you got your work cut out. But it just took one slap at, you know, at the top of the rise there, and away he went. He's a special, special horse, this, believe me. I think everyone knows he's a special horse. He ran the time, and he's only a three-year-old. He's a big, lay-back sort of a horse. Geez, I could see this horse travelling to Europe next year and conquering both continents. He's something really, really special.
All right, Terra Vista, another great effort by Joe Pryor with his great bunch of sprinters here on the Premier.
It was a bunch finish, and he seemed always in control. He just knocked up a little bit late there. He's still yet to furnish in the coat, so probably not as wound up first up. Surprisingly, after three trials, he carried good condition and is still a bit of a woolly coat, so that looks good for his future. And to say that he's still yet to peak this horse, it's nice to see Rebel Dane put two good runs together. And of the others, really can't say much. You know, Tiger Tees and Rock Sturdy, the stable mates of the winner, has still got a little bit of upside to come. But he's on track, Terra Vista, and more to come, more to come.
At Rock Sturdy, he was okay right on the line, Duff.
I like him. He's had two runs back. He's a big, strong horse. He wants 1,400 plus. Don't know what his race is, but there's something for him. He's going well. He's going well.
Now, the Craven Plate, spoke with John O'Shea after the first up run from Complacent, where he got stood in his head, and he wasn't worried at all about that. And when you look at his form since, he really has had no real need to worry. The horse is flying now, isn't he?
Yeah, look, he's got style. He's got a good racing style where you can put him on the speed, you can take a sit. It just opens up so many options for a horse like him, and, you know, especially in the way we're getting races run these days, where every second race is, you know, run slow, and he can adapt to a situation, this horse. And the way he fought when Haraki just come to beat him, he was a tens on chance when he loomed to him, Haraki, and he fought like a good horse, and he come out on top. Godolphin's always had a big rap, and John O'Shea's declared months, you know, 6 or 7 weeks ago that this is his Caulfield Cup horse, and maybe he's got the timing right again. He's nothing special to look at, but, you know, he's a Derby place getter. I still reckon he's yet to furnish a little bit too, and he's been a little bit behind with his, you know, spring coat not coming through. So that's a good sign. He's well found in the Caulfield Cup market now, but he's on target. I think they singled out and they really dominated that race. Grand Marshal, he's flying this horse. He's just a stayer, and he's probably at the top level, maybe a wet track stayer. But don't underestimate him in a Caulfield Cup. Really, he's going well.
Anything else take your eye on that Craven Plate Duff or not?
Not really. I just think outside the top two, it's just all Grand Marshal. Ruling Dynasty, he's a nice horse. Just wasn't himself there on Saturday.
Well, the Epsom, and I've got to tell you, I reckon Huey Bowman would have been reaching for the sorbent about the 450-metre mark because he was an all-sorts of driver, wasn't he?
Well, you know, she picked herself off the canvas with a bit of interference at a previous start, and she's done it again here, and she's done it in a $1 million Group 1. It's very hard to do. And, look, why wouldn't you run her in a Cox Plate Week? Since that Sunshine Coast Guineas, she's just been lethal. I remember, you know, back in the autumn, we thought, oh, well, you know, a mare like, or a filly like First Seal had the wood on her and looked a much better filly than her, and that's been proven incorrect because this filly has just matured, jumped out of the ground. She's an athlete. She can overcome difficulties and she can sprint off a fast speed, a slow speed. She ticks a lot of boxes. She's an absolute beauty. Outside of her, I couldn't say much. He's come a long way, this Sons of John. He's put two good ones together now, and Winks has been too good for him, but he's done a great job with him, the trainer, and certainly he can be... just proved it was no fluke in his first up run there on Saturday.
All right, now Speak Fondly won the Flight Stakes beautifully. I think might be having a let-up now, isn't it?
Yeah, good decision. She's had a marvellous few weeks. She was only been beaten once, and that was by Exosphere in a golden rose, so that's certainly good form. And she was a query at the mile there on Saturday and certainly looked a query at the 100 when they come to her. But she showed good fighting qualities, didn't she? And she's been really good. She's earned a break. And she's another one. We'll come back really well in the autumn. I don't know what races they'll target with her, but she's going to be very competitive in anything, you know, against her own sex. The Nesta goes to Melbourne. She's had a hard time. She's been in Queensland and then to Sydney, but she's a filly that holds good condition and certainly shouldn't be underestimated. Perignon's and bounce back from that cardiac arrhythmia or thumps last start, says that. She's really a much more mature filly this preparation. Pearls was good again. There's a filly here, Sophia Rosa. I hope she spells because there's nothing of her. She's a little tiny, little immature thing, but she's a talent later on in her career when she sort of strengthens up a bit.
All right, now the Metropolitan, Magic Hurricane. He put him to sleep on the fence and just had the angle from round the top of the straight.
Yeah, look, the barriers played a big part here. When Magic Hurricane drew one and Beaten Up drew two, they were always going to just cuddle up beautifully in the run, which they did, which is important in staying races. And another horse, he'd come to a peak at the right time. He'd been good all the way through. He'd been a podgy little fella, so exactly the same again with O'Shea getting the timing right. Beaten Up just can't win a race. He's going well, but he hasn't won in so long. And this horse, Ivana Kula, I don't know what his race is, but if you get one of those big track 2400 country provincial cups in Melbourne, it's certainly his go, that's for sure.
All right, what was your pick from Saturday, Ron? What was the best? Was it have to be Exosphere, was it or not?
Oh, look, he stands alone. He stands alone. He's the new kid on the block and certainly an exciting, very exciting horse.
Right, 13:53:53. Now, look at Sunday at Flemington, the big day there. Dan Amirabon on trial, and Bella Spree, he just keeps throwing winners.
He does, yeah, he certainly does. And the filly did a good job on Sunday, I should say. I don't know the depth of that race, but was well trained up for the race and was just very green in a trial leading in. So they'd applied the winkers, and she handled the straight track pretty well. A lot of these look very babyish in the yard, Sean. So I just don't think the Melbourne trainers prepped their horses up as early as the Sydney trainers for these early two-year-old races, and we'll see them roll out over the next few weeks. But Sweet Cherry did a good enough job. Kinetic Design looked really trained up to win the race, and the favourite Manuel, who'd certainly trialled the best of them, he looked like he was going to win in the run, but pulled up shin sore, and he's probably out now for the spring.
All right, the Gilgeish attack did what was expected.
Well, in a roundabout way, he was expected to win. He wasn't expected maybe to get cluttered up and have a bit of a time getting through them. But when he did, the good thing about if he is in trouble, he can get out of it pretty quickly because he's just so fast. It was great tactics by James McDonald on Noidart, put him into a spot where he had him just cuddled up and nowhere to go. But ultimately, Chautauqua was too good. Delectation ran pretty well there. Had the clear air, but ran a nice race. It was a slightly run race and a sprint home, but Chautauqua too good.
The 1,800-metre race that Ayers Rock won, will we see many of these go to the Derby?
Oh, we'll see him go there. It was a really clever ride by Darren Gouch. He actually put the speed on early. Most of these races, because they're trying to run 1,800, they sort of nursed them a bit, but he'd already won at 2,000, so he rolled them along, had a little breather, and then went again and just took the speed out of those horses that would be able to get up and swoop. And it was a track playing that way on Sunday. It wasn't biased. It was just firm from the front, so the leaders were running home quickly, and it was hard for those to try and make ground. I thought... looking at them, Tavachi's a good horse, but he's very green. He just still does a fair bit wrong. I don't know if he's going to get it right by Derby time. A horse called Pay Up Bro still hasn't really trimmed up yet, so John Maloney's got a bit to work with. He'll probably get to the Derby, whether he's quite good enough, but he keeps running on. And horse I'm a big rap for, Iron Boss. I think they probably took advantage of the inside draw on Sunday. Might have ridden him a little bit close. I think might see him ridden a bit quieter in his next two runs. Or his next run and then into the Derby. I still think he's a bit of a chance for the Derby.
You know what? I still reckon the Gouch is one of the best front-running jocks in the country.
Well, he's brave enough to have a go at it. Yeah. And the older riders seem to be doing that. We saw that with Glenn Boss and also Jimmy Cassidy the week before at Caulfield. So, he was very good on Ayers Rock. He just didn't go too slow. That was the key element there.
Edward Manifold, the Group 2 for the fillies, and I suppose a lot of Oaks girls going around this.
Could be, because of the change in the program. This used to be the last lead up to the 1,000 guineas, and with it being on the Sunday, it's only 6 days before the guineas. But I think Batawire will back up and run in the guineas. Her win was absolutely outstanding on Sunday, the way she quickened down. She was really good in winning and deserves her spot in the 1,000 guineas field. I think Mick Price is going that way. I still think Sacred Eye is the one to beat in the Oaks. She's still not quite there in the coach. She's coming along well. She'll go towards either the Caulfield Classic or the Ethereal on Caulfield Cup Day and then into the Oaks, and she's ticking over beautifully. Sailing by Honest. Thames Court's a lovely filly. I just think the absolute A grade's a bit much for her at this stage, but if she goes to a lesser race like a filly's race on Cox Plate Day or something like that, Thames Court could be winning a race.
All right, now the Bart Cummings, if you could have choreographed this, you probably couldn't have done much better. The winner trained by one of Bart's foremen or previous foremen. Out of a mare he won the Melbourne Caulfield Cups with. Let's make a deal.
A grand dam of, yeah. It was, absolutely. I think it was either Let's Make a Deal or Precedence that were going to be the rightful winners, and it was Let's Make a Deal done. Just put her in the spot. It was a beautiful ride, and she won well. And I think with this race being the free exemption into the Melbourne Cup, she's the perfect horse to take up that, because in the last 2 years she's run second in the Lexus and third in the Lexus, so she hasn't been far off a Melbourne Cup start in the past. I think she's a deserving spot in the field. She's probably only a top 10 chance, but she's, you know, at least it's a local that's in form. Our Ivanhoe ran well. My worry with him is, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, his feet. He wears a lot of synthetic hoof filler on his feet, but condition-wise, he's going to peak in his next couple of runs if he holds together.
All right, now the Turnbull Stakes, Ripper Race this, Preferment and Royal Descent, and what a great finish.
It was. He's just in outstanding condition and form, Preferment Duff, because I hadn't seen him since last spring. Gee, he's filled out into a lovely horse.
Yeah, different horse now, isn't he? He's really matured.
Yep.
He's learned how to race. That's the main thing.
Got a great attitude to it, yeah.
Yeah, before he was, you have to push him the whole way. He wouldn't grab the bit and he'd do plenty wrong, but just looking at him in his past two runs, making a mid-race move last time, and I must say, it may have been flattered a little Saturday, but with a brilliant ride, but he, in saying that, he's not fully wound up yet, so there's more to come from him, surely.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the one thing about this race is that it was a brilliant ride, and he and Royal Descent had the clear air down the outside. And when these races at the moment are so even in Melbourne, that the bunch nature of them, I think that getting that clear running in this race was so important. Set Square got a pretty good run through to the inside. She ran well. She's just got to keep calm on a big day. She sweated up a bit on Saturday like she did when she ran in the Vinery up in Sydney. But she ran really well, Blinker's first time. Dandino's going really well.
For a nine-year-old stallion, isn't he? Every run's been decent this time.
Yeah, he's flying, and he was three wide. He battled on really well. Problem is, because he's had so long off, he's lost all of his qualifications for a race like the Caulfield Cup, which I think if he got in the Caulfield Cup, he'd be a mighty chance. But unfortunately, he's not going to get in the field.
All right. And finally, the Blazer Stakes. Darren Weir got the money.
He did. I thought he'd get the money in this race. I was very confident he'd get the money, but it was with Atlantis Dream that had no luck and run 12th, not the 40-1 shot La Passe, who was up on the speed coming off a 78 benchmark. She just was in the right spot. She's always had talent. I wouldn't have thought she'd have won a Group 2, but there you go. She got the right run and won. Manager S is going really well. The Matriarch on the final day at Flemington, that's the race for her. She's in good form, and as I said, I'll be very forgiving of Atlantis Dream there, just never in the right spot.
And a big thrill for Luke Dittman to ride his first listed winner and to do it at Flemington.
Yeah, fantastic. And took up the running here on a horse. It's not known for that sort of style of racing, but read the play beautifully. There didn't look a heap of speed on paper. He went forward. Opie Bossom went forward on Turn Me Loose. They rated these horses to perfection, and in the end, they've gone 1-2, beat the rest three lengths. And, well done to Luke. Terrific ride. Turn Me Loose ran well. Satinum was a good run there, and Tall Ship. I think Kurt's horse, Duff, he's getting ready for the Zipping Classic on at Sandown at the end of the carnival. He's going beautifully.
All right, we'll take a break. Sorry.
Just any pattern or bias on the day yesterday?
Oh, it was again, a bit like Friday night. It was so firm. It was probably difficult to make ground, but it was because they were running hard from the front. They're running home so quickly in a lot of the races. Most of the races went home sort of 33 and a half. So if you're three or four lengths off them, you couldn't make the ground. That's where I think Preferment and Royal Descent, quality horses were able to wind up and do it over a bit further, but there was a lot of trouble to the inside as well.
Yep.
Rightio, we'll take a break. Take your calls. 13:53:53. Give us a call now. 25 to 10. Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio congratulates winners of the New South Wales Country and Provincial Racing Awards. Country Race Club of the Year was Tamworth Jockey Club, achieving record crowds at feature meetings. Adamitabee Jockey Club took out Community Club of the Year. Country Racehorse of the Year was Scissor Kick. And congratulations to Murrumbidgee Turf Club for the Outstanding Achievement Award in raising more than $150,000 during their Currajong Charity Race Day. This is Sky Sports Radio, year-round, proud to bring you the best in New South Wales country and provincial racing.
PuntersShow.com.au brings you the big guns of punting. Darren Potter's Melbourne Sets, Vince Accardi's Race Speed Profiles, John Walter live in the chat room, Mark Lamborn's Sydney Form, John McLeod, our Brisbane expert, Nick Ashman's Trackwork Tips, Glenn Pollitt and Warren Huntley's Mounting Yard Mail, and the Hong Kong winners. All the big guns of punting in one convenient location. PuntersShow.com.au.
Tab Saddle Up Sundays. Visit our most exciting regions, like the New South Wales South Coast.
Shoalhaven City Turf Club at Nowra saddles up on Sunday, October 18. There's the Mollymook Cup. Free sausage sizzle for the first 400 trackside, fashions on the field, live entertainment, kids' activities and giveaways. Sky Sports Radio and Sky Thoroughbred Central have the mounting yard covered. At Nowra, Sunday, October 18. Visit gocountryracing.com.au.
And the Rough and Racing.
Won by a country mile or just plain unlucky? Either way, it has Back Me Next Start written all over it. Don't miss a winner this carnival with Black Book Racing Central. Black Book Racing Central is the app that keeps you ahead of the game. Whether it's thoroughbreds, harness or the greys, you'll receive alerts whenever your saved runners are racing. Find Black Book Racing Central in the app or Google Play stores, or visit blackbookracingcentral.com.au. Give yourself the edge today.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Now, it's 22 to 10, 13 53 53 for your calls. I think we might have Brent online now. Brent, you there? Hello, Brent.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Good on you, mate.
I had two questions for you. First of all, Shard in the Spring Stakes this weekend. I thought he ran a pretty gutsy second to press statement the other week, and he's drifting in the market. I was just wondering if the lads knew anything as to why that was.
I'm sorry, you cut out there. Which one
Shard.
Was it?
Shard,
the Godolphin Shard.
Oh, yep. The Godolphin horse. Yeah, look. He's only had a couple of runs back. It was a much better run the other day. What race are you looking at him?
For the Spring Stakes, I thought he looked pretty good.
Oh, the Spring Stakes.
Yeah.
The Champion Stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure he'd get run in that race, but... I'm not sure that's...
He's still on the call for Guineas too, so the market may not know which way he's going.
Right. So, I'd be careful taking, pre-post markets in the Spring Champion Stakes with a horse like him, getting to, 2,000 metres so quickly, where, there's other options for him in Melbourne. But look, he's a nice horse. He's, he's up to a Spring Champion Stakes, but whether he can run a strong 2,000 metres would be a question mark.
Yep, that's great help. And the other question I have for you, just quickly, where's the best place to get steward reports? I've been looking everywhere and can't really find...
You'll
find them on Racing New South Wales for New South Wales or
Racing Australia.
Racing
Australia, and there's a portal there for steward reports for all around Australia.
Beauty. Thanks, Eve, guys. You're a massive help.
No worries. Good on you, Brent. Good luck through the spring. Scott calls now. Morning, Scott.
Good morning. How are you doing, fellas?
Good. What can we do for you?
Dean Lester there, please.
Yes, Scott.
Yeah, can you give us some movements on Santorana Lane? Is she in the Caulfield Guineas, or has she been set for something else?
Oh, I wouldn't think he'd go to the Caulfield Guineas, being this Saturday. He's only run 11 and 1,200 metres. I think you'll see him maybe in a 1,400 on Caulfield Cup Day, or maybe the Blue Sapphire on the middle day of the Caulfield Carnival. I think Danny will go beyond, say, 1,400 maybe this time in. But, I'd say you'll see him at Caulfield, but not in the Guineas.
What about Grand Slam Eagle? Or anything happening with that one?
Grand Slam Eagle's in tomorrow at Ballarat. First race tomorrow. Yep. Small field, I think 1,600 second up off that terrific fresh run.
Very good. Can I get one for Duff?
Yes, Scott.
Kermit Dick. Now, is he going to have another run before the Cox Plate?
He runs Saturday in the Caulfield Stakes.
Yep, he worked at Caulfield this morning too.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, you'd expect he'd be hard to beat there, and he'd go on to the Cox Plate, although a few of his stablemates are putting their hand up now. he's ticking along beautifully, and interested, really keen to watch him on Saturday.
Yeah, very good. Well, thanks very much, fellas, and you have a good day.
Good on you, Scott. Thanks, all the best. Scott. Rob joins us now. Morning, Rob.
Yeah, good day, guys. Dino, I was just wondering if you'd tell me bulk, stock and barrel, mate, any... improvement in that horse? What's happening with him? A change of riders? I didn't get to see the race, but I heard he let him up and then just faded away.
He did. He let him up. Didn't go too hard. I think I said at the start of the spring, I don't think he'd matured much. I reckon he's just he's on the back foot a little bit, Volk Stock and Barrel. As you said, changed riders, blinkers on, backed him up 8 days apart, a little bit of panic stations for mine. Of those two New Zealanders, Mongolian Khan's going so much better, and Volk Stock and Barrel just mightn't be his spring.
Yeah, all right, no worries. And Duff, you must have got that big six a few times on Saturday. Did you see what I paid?
Yes, I did.
$39. I've been chasing that big six since it first came out. Mate. I'm glad I didn't get that one because I would have lost money.
I know a mate of mine got it. He's been...
All right, fella, thanks a lot.
You wouldn't want to spend it all at once, would you? All right.
It paid less than the quaddy.
Now, David joins us now. Morning, David.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Good. What can we do for you?
Dean or Ron, Exosphere, I'm so excited. I thought, just brilliant. But what's his next step? What do you think will be his next races?
That's good. It's got to be the Coolmore.
I think the priority is for him to try and win the Darley, win their own race on final day. and whether he does the two or just goes to straight to the older horses, because I know John O'Shea's long held the thought that being so big and strong at 600 kilos with a weight advantage, it's a great opportunity for him to beat the older horses.
Well, he went six attempts faster than the older horses.
Yep.
Carrying enough weight. I mean, I think he's one of the most exciting... I mean, you shouldn't go early. He's only a few starts, but I think he's one of the most exciting young three-year-olds we've seen for many, many years.
No, I'd agree with that. I think he's just so powerful.
And
no arguments.
Do you think he can get a mile? I mean, what distances do you think down the track?
I don't know if he'd be tried to, but I think he could if he wanted to.
He's so switched off. The horse is just a big, gentle giant. He's laid back. He ran into a traffic jam going to races there on Saturday, and everyone was panicking because there was an accident on the highway and they were going to scratch him, and it was 35 degrees and he was standing in the float, and it wasn't air conditioned, the float. He got to the races, he just ambled off, not a drop of sweat on him. He's got a marvellous constitution, this horse, and the problem is, how long are we going to have him around? Not too long, I'd say. He's too good.
I think you flagged what ultimately happened, Duff. He'll try and prove himself in both hemispheres.
Of course, yeah. You know, he's an ideal horse for it because of his attitude.
Yeah.
His attitude is just so laid back for a big horse. It's mind-boggling just looking at the horse. It's like you want to go up and spook him just to wake him up a little bit, you know.
Can I just ask another question?
Yeah.
Just another question. Just something that the Epsom, just something I was talking to a mate with the other day. The Epsom used to always have every year, without exception, a capacity field of 20 with probably, two, three, four emergencies. Is there any reason why now they don't have the capacity field of 20?
Well, they didn't this year, did they? Yeah. But still, it was a good field. It was a funny year because we did have those compressed weights, and it was disappointing we only had 2 kilos covering the whole field. But it's not as if it's happened every year, and let's just judge it after next year or the year after and see if there is a problem with the race. But I don't think so. It was still an exciting contest and a terrific race. But the weights were compressed with a couple of really good horses nominated for it, and whether there's another angle we can take of re-handicapping or something like that once these big guns pull out, I don't know. It's open for a debate, that's for sure.
Yeah. No, it's just interesting because I remember the old day with Superimpose, there used to be four fields of 20, and, I just think it loses a fraction, just a fraction. Yeah.
Oh, look, it's each year's different. I remember Secret Savings winning a Doncaster on Epsom. Was it the 6 runners in it? It can happen.
Right. Good on you, David. Thanks for your call. 9:45. Chris is joining us now. Morning, Chris.
Morning, guys. Just a couple of things. First of all, on Winks. Now, I rang you a few weeks ago about the Cox Plate, and I'm still thinking to myself, how does a horse like Winks win a Cox Plate? I mean, I know there's going to be pace on with the cleaner. It's going to be fascinating if he starts in the race. I don't know how they're going to ride him, but he's never gone the Melbourne way of going, obviously, never been down there. When was the last time an Epsom winner won a Cox Plate? Same year. There's so many things against Winks in the Cox Plate, I think. Any comment?
Yeah, I think they're valid points. I think two of the last mares to win the Cox Plate... or three of the last mares have come through the Epsom. They haven't won it, and that's Pinker, Sunline, yep. Dane Ripper. You're right. She's going to have an interesting style about her around the valley, but, does she have to be ridden that far back, Duff, if she draws a bit better gait at 2,000 metres?
No, I don't think so. She actually wasn't too far away from them there on Saturday. She
correct,
was, three deep with cover in the more or less in the main, the first half of the field.
Yep.
One thing I've learnt with Chris Waller horses, inside draw positive, outside draw negative.
Yep.
That's their style. That's simple. Chris gets very nervous going forward from wide draws. And I'm not going to argue with him because he gets too many good results. But I'm the same. I would, 3 months ago I thought, how could Winks run in a Cox Plate? But you look at her last four performances, freakish performances, the Sunshine Coast Guineas, the Oaks, winning by a space, the Theo Marks off the canvas, the Epsom off the canvas. She's only had 14 starts now. Are we judging the three-year-old the Winks or the four-year-old, the late three-year-old Winks or the you know, early three-year-old Winks. So she's really come of age in the last four starts.
Yeah, and just one last thing on Buffering. I know it was a great weekend, but to me, Buffering was still the highlight on Friday night. I know there's this call in Queensland to fast-track him into their Hall of Fame, and why not? But you look at the horse and you think, OK, he's really popular, but geez, he's a good horse. I mean, you go back over his career, you think about, like, he's second in the Newmarket behind Haylist. You think about that running the TJ Smith behind Lankin Rupee. You think about him chasing Black Caviar. He's been at the blowtorch now for 6 years doing the hard lines. He's an amazing animal. And on Friday night, I just loved what he did to those three-year-olds. And you just forget that, you know, I mean, he's super popular, but geez, he's a horse.
Chris, you made a good point. He's probably the last racing link to Black Caviar and Hayley Stooley that's still going around.
No doubt.
Yeah, he's almost a champion, actually. Yeah. I know it's a big call, but, geez, he's a good horse. Yeah. I didn't back him either on Friday night. I didn't think he could do it. But you know, you just think back over his career. You look at what he's done. He's crossed $5 million, and he's very popular, but, geez, he's good.
Yep, too right. Good on you, Chris. Thanks for your call. We'll take a break, come back with more of your calls, 13:53:53. It is 12 to 10 at Sky Sports Radio.
Fly like an eagle. Son of Sire of Sires, Mark III.
Sire of Some Beach Somewhere.
Seven group wins and 10 group placings.
New Zealand 2-year-old of the year and still holds the record for fastest 2-year-old over the mobile 1700 metres.
Eligible for the New South Wales Harness Racing Colonial Rebate of $500 for breeders.
Fly like an eagle, standing at Yirrabee Stud, Wagga Wagga.
Visit yirrabee.com.au.
Here's a thought for anyone renovating or building a new home.
Take a closer look at your design.
Visually, what do you think is the single most important purchase you'll make when building or renovating your home?
Windows and doors, of course.
You look through them every day. Make sure you don't look past them. They bring in light, airflow, and can assist with heating and cooling your home. Pretty important, I'd say. Wideline Windows and Doors have been manufacturing aluminium and timber windows and doors for over 40 years.
Make sure you take a closer look.
Wideline. Showrooms in Parramatta, Tuggerah and Broadmeadow near Newcastle.
Puntershow.com.au brings you the big guns of punting. Darren Potter's Melbourne Sets, Vince Accardi's Race Speed Profiles, John Walter live in the chat room, Mark Lamborn's Sydney Form, John McLeod, our Brisbane expert, Nick Ashman's Trackwork Tips, Glenn Pollitt and Warren Huntley's Mounting Yard Mail, and the Hong Kong winners. All the big guns of punting in one convenient location. Puntershow.com.au.
It's 10 to 10 and Punters Postmortem with the Duff and Dano, and Tony joins us now. Morning, Tony.
Good morning, champ. Dino, Duff.
Yeah, Tone.
You both do a form line program. What horse on the weekend had the most obvious, apparent form line to win? And I can't believe they bet $16.
Well, it wasn't in Sydney if it was $16.
No, it was on Sunday.
All right. Share it with us, Tone.
You rate Magic Hurricane, don't you, Duff?
I do.
Preferment. Yeah. I cannot believe they bet $16.
Yeah, no, it was a good price. I think most people thought, well, it's his first run in Melbourne, this prep, and he's eyeing off the cups, whether he was switched on enough to beat that lot on the day.
Price. I'm just basing on the fact that he beat Magic Hurricane. You saw what Magic Hurricane did on Saturday, and he's a Derby winner down Flemington. Anyway, if they want to offer those odds...
you cash in on it, Tone.
Do you make a killing, Tony?
Well, let's put it this way. I did, and my favourite jockey, two of my favourite female jockeys are in Melbourne, and they are Linda Meach and Michelle Payne.
Oh, hello. You've had a big day.
I wish I had a put La Passe in. Probably couldn't.
Tell me about
because
it.
It's a Doug Weir. I backed the other Doug Weir thing, what was ever in the race. But, you know, Blackiston's, because I follow Blackiston and Causton's. They used to be foremen for Cummings. Let's Make a Deal, and then Preferment, and Ditman. Well, Luke Ditman, what is he doing in Melbourne? You don't need form guides, champ.
You are a machine, Tony.
Well, you know, the last winner I backed actually prior to last week was in 1998.
Good idea.
Well, you deserve to ring up when you have a big day.
Yeah.
He was born in 1998, and that was the last winner I backed. Prior to that, it was a two-horse race at Cessnock. I got it on protest.
Good on you, mate.
And you're showing your age, calling Darren Weir Doug.
Yeah.
Dougie Weir.
Yeah, good on you, Tony. Have a great day, mate. Now, Stephen joins us now. Good morning, Stephen. Hello, Stephen. What can we do for you?
How are you?
Good.
That's all right. Listen, Duff?
Yes, mate.
Dana, I just thought I'd bring the day to Bill. He's been one of my favourite horses around over the years, obviously. Dora and Might and Power and, you know, many others. Savabille, Reset. Yeah.
Yeah, great stallion.
Yeah, he was a fantastic galloper and a fantastic stallion as well, Stephen. And I think when they Duff and Dino would agree, when they were born, they should have been born with blinkers on, nearly every one of them, shouldn't they?
Yeah, well,
they do.
They certainly improve with them. But I actually remember the first time I saw Zabil was at the Stutt Stakes meeting at Moonee Valley. I went out there to back Kortzer, who was the champion filly at the time, and he came in the yard, and I changed my mind. He was an imposing horse, and he won that day, and he was a really good galloper, but he's been an immortal stallion.
All right. Now, Malcolm joins us. Good morning, Malcolm.
Yeah, good. Ron, I might ask you this question. Well, I said he's Epsom, that's compressed weight scale.
Yep.
How do we arrive at that?
Well, a couple of the horses at the top of the weights didn't accept. And we have to bring the weights up to 58 when the lower horse, the top weights don't accept. So that's how it's all come. All the weights at the bottom were compressed, and we end up going up 4 kilos. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah, no. Well, it's not a handicap anymore, is it? Really? It's just a benefit for the better horses and that. But I backed a horse in the race. Just tell me about a horse in the race called Malice. The only reason I backed it was Jane Rear rode it.
Mm-hmm.
And just have a look. I don't know if you noticed the run at all that, but he had the one barrier, and geez, he rode a treat. I think he actually got the front on the inside the 200 and that, but, you know, at the compressed weight scale, he couldn't win it, you know.
No, no. He didn't earn 56 in a race like that, that's for sure. He came out
of the... Well, that's what I'm saying. He'd be 4 or 5 kilos from those Group 1 winners, you know.
No, no, you're right. He was, and that's why he was probably such a long price. Yeah, exactly. But look, he did run a bad race, and it was an improved run from him. But he was just
not a bad horse. He's won five. He's only at 15 starts. He won five and won five and placed five. I think he's got something ahead of him, you know.
Yeah, look, there's a few more wins. I mean, whether he's a Group 1 horse, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Good on you, Malcolm.
Nothing.
Now, Mick joins us now. Morning, Mick.
How are you going, Sean?
Good. What can we do for you?
Ron, how are you going, Dean?
Hey, Mick.
Ron, Swainus, he's obviously by Lonro, but I don't know what John O'Shea's doing with him. He, way back in the Guineas 6 months ago, the Rosehill Guineas, he only finished 5 lengths or something behind the winner. And when he came back, he was over 1,400, so... do you think he's worth following, or what's up for him?
After Saturday, I say no. He looks in sensational order. He's just not racing well. I've been waiting for him to improve, and I looked at him again there on Saturday, and I thought, geez, the drier track may suit you today, and you could be an easily a blowout chance. But he got his dry track. He didn't perform. He's a four-year-old stallion, so, you know, he's having a little think about things. Maybe he's not going so well, but I think indications were, before he resumed, were that this horse is going better than ever, and he's back to his early form, but he hasn't shown that this prep. So he's a horse not racing to the best of his ability.
And Sons of God, where did he come from? I'm sure there's a race for him somewhere.
Well, yeah, he came from nowhere to win a Hawkesbury Cup, and then a weak Hawkesbury Cup, I must say. But he trialled brilliantly leading into that Theo Marks and ran accordingly, and then backed it up with another great run in the Epsom. So his rating will go right up now, but probably deservedly so. He's a horse that's probably just come of age.
Now, Sean, can I ask Dean a question?
Yep, no worries.
Dino, what do you like in the Corkill Guineas, mate?
Can you ask another? No, either press statement or win, or I don't know who would win it. But he should just be...
Be too good, you reckon?
Oh, I think he'd be way too good. From what I think, most of the horses down here are going okay, but to me they're more like Carbine Club horses than Corkill Guineas horses. He just seems to stand out to my eye.
Yeah, Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Good on you. Thanks, Mick.
Duff,
Leo.
And I just run one by Duff with regard to Sway Ness. Do you reckon that Spring Champion Stakes of last year, it was run at such a high speed, like there'd never been a faster first 1,200 of a 2,000-metre race. Hampton Court, First Seal, Sway Ness were the three horses. Have they all been gutted a bit by that race?
Well, that's a good point. I've never thought of it that way. But
Hampton Court couldn't get out of his own way again.
Yeah.
First Seal, she had a reasonable autumn, but not the dynamic horse we saw before that race.
Yep.
And Sway Ness had a couple of runs in the autumn, but I just don't think any three of them have ever really recovered from that race.
Well, there's some food for thought. I think, you make a good case to say that could be the case, because the three very promising horses coming out of that race who haven't trained on.
Mm. Right, Leo joins us now. Morning, Leo.
Good morning, Sean and Ron and Dean. I was really pretty pleased with myself, Star Stable on Saturday, and looking forward to my selection in the Turnbull Stakes Alpine Eagle. But it was a scratching. I'd just like to ask Dean what happened to him and what's the outlook.
Is he going
to continue his preparation?
Well, no, he's not. He was lame Sunday morning and they x-rayed him yesterday and he's got a crack in a pedal bone, which is bone in his hoof. So, okay. And it's a nasty injury and he'll be out for a while.
Oh, that's a pity. Thanks, Dean.
Good on you. Thanks, Leo. Kurt joins us now. Morning, Kurt.
G'day, Cozzy. How are you, mate?
Good, mate.
That's the shot, mate. Hey, Dino.
Kurt.
Mate, keep not a day. Is that, and also into a mist, one of my favourite Team McAvoy horse. Are they nom for the weekend down there anywhere?
Oh, keep not a day might be ended in. He won't be in town. He'll be in. He might be saved for the Friday nights.
He's improved from a Warwickner Bill Maiden, hasn't he?
Yeah, but this is not the right time of year to be running on Saturday, so he won't be around. And if you see him on a Friday night, he's pretty handy. And what was the other one, Kurt?
I think Into the Mist, Team McAvoy's. The last two rides have been at
Morfordville Park
Saturday. I just love this horse.
Yeah, it's going well. Form around it's okay. I don't know. I think it'll stay in Adelaide until further notice.
All right, and Duff?
Yes, Kurt.
Mate, Hierarchy, obvious trail to go forward, or do you know the plans for it?
Yeah, Caulfield Cup. He'll run in the Caulfield Cup where he's, on the second or third line of betting. So, look, the timing's right for him to run well, but I'm sorry?
Sorry, Duff. Nothing in Sydney before that, mate?
No.
It's only 11
days
away.
There's nothing left in Sydney. Yeah.
Good on you, Kurt.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, mate. Now, it's almost 10 o'clock. Horses to follow. Duff, what do you like?
Look, I spotted a very, very, very good horse on Wednesday at Rose Hill, a horse called Hellbent. Keep an eye out for him if he goes to Melbourne. I'll tell you, he's a very good sprinter.
He can handle anything, any surface too, and he's another one of the Iron Invincibles.
There he is. He's lightly raced. He ran sizzling time there on Wednesday, and he could be a smoky. Could be a smoky.
Dino,
Not for a high class race, but a horse called Flying Light ran fourth on Sunday. That race set up for the leaders, and he worked home well. I think 16 or 1800 in the next few weeks. Flying Light will get a win in town.
All right, and I'll give you a Kiwi to follow that may or may not make the trip. I have a horse called Hasselhoof. He's 4 from 4, trained by Donald Logan.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming.
They decided to keep him back there, have they?
Yeah, if he comes, he might come for one lower grade race, but they want to get to the Australian Cup in the autumn. I had a chat with Donna the other day. I think the Australian Cup's the main objective in the autumn.
He can gallop, can't he?
Yeah, he's a beauty.
He's absolutely won his first by 11 lengths. He's an absolute cracker. Mm. So keep your eye out for him. Good to catch up. Duff, we'll talk to you soon. Dano, have a great day.
Thanks, Sean.
It's a minute past 10 at Sky Sports Radio.